this morning, and some of you that I've had the privilege, when you've come forward and you've trusted Christ as Savior, and I've had the privilege to open the Bible and share with you Christ, everyone that I have had the privilege in this church, as well as under the intent revivals, as well as down through the years of the bulk of my ministry, when someone has trusted Christ or they're turning to Christ to believe on Him, among the catalog of scriptures that I'll use is found here in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John and verse number 47. I believe Brother Mike Dixon, just back in the summer when he came and trusted Christ, and he came and he received Christ as Savior, it was at the end of the prayer that I opened the Bible here and I showed him this verse where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." It is a verse that is a reminder of the simplicity of the gospel. It's a verse that is a reminder of the assurance that we can have that if we'll trust Christ as Savior, that in fact He will give us what He said. According to His word, He will give us eternal life. I love this verse. I don't know what your favorite verses are in terms of verses of salvation and sharing with people about Jesus Christ and the gospel. By the way, by way of a title, I've said it a couple of times this morning, maybe more, and I'll say it again. The title of the message this morning is The Gospel Truth. You've heard that expression, and that's the gospel truth. Well, that's what I want us to get a hold of this morning, and to get a hold of us in a new way, in a fresh way, that we get the gospel truth, and that gospel truth will not only get into our minds and into our hearts, but also get into our spirit, that we'd be willing again to share Christ with whosoever needs to hear about Him. If I were to say in my catalog of favorite scriptures, I'd have to say John 6:47 is among my favorite scriptures. Sometimes we apply those scripture, those particular references in situations that are helpful to us. I could give you a list of several. I heard of one pastor who went to visit a lady after she had visited the service. He went and knocked on her door, and there was no reply to the door. He kept knocking, and she didn't come to the door. And so he took his 3x5 card out, and he wrote on the card, Revelation 3:20, paraphrase. And he put the words, "Behold, I stood at the door and knocked, but no one would let me in." On Sunday morning, the lady came to church and she slipped a 3x5 card to the pastor with probably one of her verses she had memorized, and she noted that the pastor had been to the door and he had knocked at her door, and then she put Genesis 3:15, paraphrase, "I was naked and afraid, so I hid myself." There may be places that you can apply Scripture in different ways. I believe this morning that when I think of this passage can be applied to someone when you are trying to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ and getting them to the simplistic truth that Jesus is the only way. I believe this Scripture in John 6:47 can be applied in such a way that it's a verse of assurance to remind them that if you've trusted Christ as Savior, that in fact that He has saved you by His grace. And when I use this verse in that reference, I usually keep going over and I say, look at the verse. What did you do? Well, I believed. Who did you believe? Well, I believed in Jesus because He said it. What do you have? Eternal life. Then I go back over it again. Who gave you that eternal life? Well, Jesus did because that's what He said. Well, what do you have? Eternal life. Who said so? Jesus did. How do you know? Because it's right there. And it sounds redundant, but I do know this, that the devil himself will cause you to question even the Word of God. And he started way back in Genesis to cause people to question the Bible, and he still does it today. The sad truth is that there are folk who are in churches across this nation. There are folks that sit in church this morning across this nation and will sit perhaps in various services, and various rituals will be performed and various ceremonies will go on, and folk will come in as they are and leave as they came. they may feel good about the fact that they came and did their religious duty and they were a part of a service. And so they would feel good about that, but their life hadn't been changed. If they were to die, they're not certain that they would go to heaven. They have no assurance whatsoever that if their life was to be stopped and their heart was to stop beating, that they would go to heaven. They're not sure about that. They're religious. They had ceremony. They've been in church, but the preacher didn't preach or someone didn't take the Bible and show them that they could know for sure that if they were to die, they could go to heaven. A number of years ago, I read a story in what is a magazine for West Virginia, and it's called The Golden Seal. There was a story that was relayed in The Golden Seal, and it was about a Sunday morning, April the 29th, 1951. There was a fellow by the name of Joe Carina who was a bus driver. And on that Sunday morning, it was Easter Sunday morning, April 29th, 1951. And as a part of his route and his duties, he, of course, came into the bus terminal and he got his bus ready to go. And it was about his normal day, only it was going to be a busy day because there were going to be folk who were going to ride that bus to church. So he got everything ready. Of course, the bus was gassed up and the bus depot set in a curve of a hill there in West Virginia, and this had taken place in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And if you know anything about West Virginia, you know it's full of hills. And this particular bus depot set at the corner in a downgrade going down a hillside, and it came in a hairpin turn. And on the side of that bus depot was a concrete wall. Well, Joe Carina got his bus together and he got himself together and he began to make his route and pick up people. And here folks were coming with their beautiful outfits on. It was Easter Sunday morning and the children were dressed beautifully and the ladies were dressed for church and the men were dressed and they were getting on the bus one by one. And Joe Carina was having some trouble with the brakes on that bus. So as a part of one of his stops, he went back by the depot there, the bus depot, and he had them to check and see what was going on. They assured him that everything was okay. So he continued his route, and as the bus was loaded, he then one more time was to come about and come down that hill and pass the bus depot and go at stop at the bottom of the hill and turn on the main thoroughfare there in that city and take folks to church and to deposit them in the various churches that they were going to. But there was something that went wrong that morning. The bus was loaded. It was full. Folks were dressed for Easter Sunday service in their best outfits, and they were looking forward to that Sunday morning service. And as Joe Carina was coming down the hill and he went to put his foot on the brake, he noticed that he had a lot of pedal, and the more he applied the brake, the more he realized that the brakes were out. The bus is loaded. There's no brakes on the bus. This is a tremendous vehicle, and now it's loaded and full to capacity, and the weight of it as he's coming down, careening down the hill. And remember, it's going to go right by the bus depot. And what Joe knew is that if he could make the turn, that at, right beside the bus depot was, yes, the concrete wall, but if he could make that right-hand turn and just go past the bus depot, there was an alley that would take him up a steep incline, and just maybe if he could make that turn, if he could make that right-hand turn instead of the left-hand turn and go right by the bus depot, he could go up that hill and that bus would slow and come to a stop. That's all he had. That's all he had. That's all he could do. The folks are aware that there's a problem. Everybody's a bit frantic about what's going on. And Joe, being a seasoned bus driver, he said, "This is what I'm going to do." And as he began to try to make that turn, the bus was careening down the road, and he began to make that right-hand turn, and he was so close to make the turn. And instead of making the turn and going up in the alley and the bus stopping, the bus slammed into the concrete wall. Easter Sunday morning, 1951. Among the dead were children and women and men. And the bus driver, Joe Carina, was dead too. I wonder this morning, if you've gotten onto a bus of religion and you think you're going to go to a better place one day, but you've gotten onto the bus of religion and the bus of religion is careening down the hill and the brakes are out and the driver is doing the best he can with what means he has, but the brakes are out, and before too long, that bus is going to slam into the wall. The truth is, there are folks that sit in church services like this morning, and they are on the bus of religion. They are on the bus of ceremony. They are on the bus that they're dressed for church, they have a religious mentality, but the reality is that disaster is headed their way because they have not responded to and maybe have not heard the gospel truth. I want to be sure this morning that we know what the gospel is. Someone said, the way to lose eternal life. You say, preacher, I didn't know you could lose it. Well, the way you can lose eternal life is never receive it. That's how you can lose it. And there's folks this morning who will never have eternal life because they haven't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to see in this verse, in John 6:47, I want you to see the truth that is in this verse that is so revealing and so poignant to what the gospel truth is all about. First of all, I want you to see the truth of His Word. When I use this verse, I usually open it up and I say, I want you to see that in my Bible, the words of Christ are in red. That means that Jesus said those words and they're highlighted and noted in red, printed in red, and it's a reminder of what Jesus said. I said to a lady a number of years ago, she said, preacher, I would like to be saved, but honestly, there are so many religions, I don't know what to believe or who to believe. I said, ma'am, if Jesus said it to you, would you believe Him? And she said, I would. So I was able to open my Bible and go to John 6:47, and I said to her, as I'm saying to you this morning, that ma'am, the words of Christ are in red here, and look what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now, can you believe Jesus? That woman took Jesus Christ as Savior. She didn't take religion, but she took Jesus. You see, I want you to see the truth of His Word. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want you to see that this morning that it is imperative truth. Jesus begins by saying, verily, verily, or truly, truly, or He's saying, indeed, I say unto you. He's emphasizing it doubly to say that this is important and this is emphatic, that what I'm saying to you is my word and it's the truth of the Word of God. Look at it this morning. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Not only is it imperative truth, He says, indeed, I'm saying, but notice it's expressed to you as well. The truth of His Word is expressed to you. He says, I say unto you. And so this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, you're not certain if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. If I were to say to you, are you 100% sure that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven, and you would say anything other than I'm 100% sure? If you said, well, it's about 85%. That's not good enough. Well, maybe it's like 95%. That's not good enough. If you can't say 100% sure, understand this morning that when you take Christ as Savior, Jesus is saying to you, I say unto you, and you can insert your name there. He's saying to you this morning, indeed, verily, truly, I say to you, I'm speaking to you this morning. I'm looking at you. Jesus is saying, my interest and my focus is upon you. And the word that I'm saying is the truth of the word of God for you. The truth of His word. One of the things that people will not hear when they come to many churches today is this blessed book. How sad it is. Do you know it's still in the Bible that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe? Do you know that it's still right and appropriate for us to open the blessed book this morning and preach the Bible as it is to people as they are? As I've already said, the reality is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the living word of God. A person is going to be saved only as they hear and respond to the word of God. I want to say this morning, arm yourself with the word of God. Get those verses in your heart and mind that you may share with folks the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I'm not sure how to do that. Some years ago, I put together this little tract, Eternal Life as Simple as ABC, and in it are basic scriptures. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him with your mouth. And under each of those are scriptures, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You may say, preacher, I don't know how to tell somebody about Christ. You can take that little track and go step by step and win them to Christ. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Winning people to Christ and getting them saved is your job. Oh no, that's all of our job. Everybody is to be a witness for Him. And I thank God that I'm able to, and these months that I've been your pastor, I've been able to stop folks at the back door, and I'll still do that and invite them to Christ and ask them if they've been saved and say, well, just sit over here a few minutes. I'll shake some hands and I'll get back with you and I'll sit down with them and open the Bible and share Christ with them. But I want to tell you this morning, I need some help with that. And it's not my entire responsibility. I'm not disgruntled about it. I'm saying, why don't you get some of the joy of doing it? Don't tell yourself, well, I'm not spiritually cut out in that way. He didn't say, I want preachers to be my witness only. He said, ye shall be my witnesses. Do you know this morning there are folks that will talk to you that won't talk to me as a preacher? Do you know that there are folks, family and people that you work with, that you have their ear, they respect you because of the job you do, because of who you are and who you are in the workplace. Hopefully they respect you in that way. Hopefully you have a testimony to where they have confidence in you, and you at the right time and the appropriate time can take your Bible or a gospel tract and share Christ with them. Seize that opportunity. There are family members that you're not sure they're saved. You're not certain if they were to die, they'd go to heaven. You're not sure about that. Don't be appeased by the devil into thinking that, well, they might be okay because I took them to church once. They might be okay because when they were a baby, somebody spilled some water over their little head. They might be all right because somebody took and spritzed them with some water when they were a baby. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Baptism is baptism of a believer. It's called believer's baptism. Baptism comes after you're saved. Baptism does not save you. A dedication as a baby does not save that baby. That dedicates the parents to raise them, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Every man and woman, boy and girl, needs to come to grips with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear the word of God and take Jesus and Him alone and His word and be saved by His grace. And that's the gospel truth this morning. The gospel truth of the word of God. Jesus said, I say unto you, it's His word. Then I want you to see the truth not only about His word, but I want you to see the truth about His person. Verse 47 again says, He that believeth on me. I've had people say to me, especially kids, after they've trusted Christ as Savior, and I'll say, what happened to you? Well, I got saved. And then I've said, who saved you? And they're a little bit confused, and they say, you know what I'm going to... And they say, you did. Oh, then I have to correct them and say, no, I was there. Listen, when my children were born, I was there when they were birthed. I was there for those occasions, and I wasn't the one giving birth. I just happened to be there in the birthing chamber when they were born. And the reality is, when I'm leading somebody to Christ and they get born again, I'm not the one that borns them again. I just happen to be in the birthing chamber. I just happen to be there when they have passed from death unto life. I just happen to be there when the Word of God was given to them and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and they got wonderfully saved by the grace of God. And I just happen to be there to enjoy the moment and the joy of someone trusting Christ being born again by the grace of God. You see, it's the truth of His Word and it's the truth of His person. Jesus said, he that believeth on me. Didn't say believe on the church. Didn't say believe the pastor. Said believes on me. Jesus said, he said, if I be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent and they were healed. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. There's far too many preachers that are more interested in lifting up themselves and their pride and their agenda and their philosophy. It's time that preachers again lift up Jesus, because He is the only way to heaven. He is the person. John says here in the Gospel of John, just in verse number 48, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You can follow through the Gospel of John, and Jesus on many occasions uses that phrase that comes out of the book of Exodus, and when Moses said, who shall I say has sent me? And God looked at him and He said, I want you to tell him that the I am has sent you. And when Jesus came and He walked among men and He talked to men and He healed the blinded eyes and He caused the lame to walk and He caused the sick to be healed, Jesus was the one who said to those Pharisees and He said to the religious crowd, He said, I am the great I am. He says, I am the shepherd. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the bread. And throughout the Gospel of John, you'll find that He's the great I am. Make no mistake about it this morning. Jesus is not a God. Jesus is not just a good man. He's not on the same par. Listen to me this morning. He's not on the same level with Muhammad. Bless God, He's above Muhammad. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the God of heaven. He's the one who created everything by His spoken word. And out of nothing, He spoke into existence everything. And that is the God of the Bible. And Jesus is God. And He says, if they deny me, He's talking about the apostasy that'll come, and when they deny any part of who He is, they're denying Him. You see, the truth about Him, His person, is He is the great I am. And as the great I am, the truth about His person is that He, what He has done for us, He went to the cross of Calvary. Do you understand this morning? He did something that nobody else could do. He did something that you could not do for yourself. It is not possible this morning for anybody in this room or anybody in history or anybody in the future to live a perfect life so that somehow or the other they could make their way to heaven. No, sir. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what God the Father was looking for was not a mediocre sacrifice that was almost good enough. He wasn't looking for someone that could fulfill the law, because the Jews found out that they could not fulfill the law. So Jesus had to come from the Father. The Father said, man can't make his own way, but I'll be his way. I'll send my Son to die in his place, to die for his sin. He's the Holy One from the Father, the perfect sacrifice, and He died upon the cross of Calvary. And the Father looked down as He laid in the grave 3 days and three nights, and He said, that's my Son, and I accept His sacrifice, holy, pure and unadulterated. I will accept the payment that he had for sin. And that's evidenced by the fact that on the third day morning, he came up out of the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And the Father said, I accept his sacrifice. He's the one who paid the penalty for sin. There is no other way whereby men and women can be saved but by the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. The truth about his person, believing him and him alone. You see what he's done. He paid sin's penalty and he rose again the third day morning for our justification. That's what my Savior did. Let me say this morning, in verse 47, not only do we see the truth of his word and the truth of his person, but notice, if you would, I want you to see the truth of his provision. Read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The truth of his word, the truth of his person, and what he provides when you by faith receive his word, by faith receive his person, he gives you eternal life. And you shall never perish. And you will not enter into condemnation because he took your condemnation. And when I come with my sin and myself and my pride and my efforts and my works, and I lay them down at the feet of Jesus, and I say, I hear your word, and I know your person, that you are the one who can save me, and all as I have gathered up is my sin and myself and my religion and my works, and I lay it at your feet, and there's nothing there that you desire. And he says, I don't need those things. I just need you to take me as your Savior, and I will give you eternal life. Let me tell you this morning, that is a great deal. That's a better deal than you can get down at Wally World, bless God. You can be saved by the grace of God by taking Jesus as Savior. What a glorious exchange. I traded my old tattered garment for a glorious robe that is given me by His grace and His mercy. And the truth of His provision is in the present tense. I've had folks tell me, well, I've knocked on doors and I've talked to folks and they said, I said, do you know if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven? You sure you're saved? And they've looked at me and says, well, I don't think anybody can know that. Not for sure. I said, now wait a minute. Let me give you what the Bible says. Over in 1 John chapter 5, John said, these things were written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. You see, what I've got this morning is a no-so salvation. What they're talking about is a so-so salvation. Amen? I'm talking about a no-so salvation. I've given them that verse and they got mad at me and slammed the door in my face. Because even though the Bible says you can know, obviously they didn't want to know, but thank God, God intended for you to know, and it doesn't. And somebody says, well, I don't think we'll know until we get there. That's too late. That's like these owls saying, well, we're going to go on a trip. Where are you going? We won't know until we get there. I know how you people are. You want to know where you're going to get your grub before you go. And one thing's for sure, if they said, well, the pastor's going to decide where we go eat and what we're going to eat, I'll be on that bus by myself if I was going. I want you to understand this morning that God has a no-so salvation for us, and what He provides is eternal life. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life in the present tense. You can know today. You get it right now. You don't have to get on the internet and order it and hope that FedEx or UPS brings it to you. You get it today if you take Christ as Savior. It's a no-so salvation. It's a salvation that is free, that's provided by the grace of God. And you can know this morning that you're saved by His grace. It's not that, well, I might get it after a while. No, it's now. By the way, not only is it in the present tense, You didn't know you was going to get a little grammar this morning, did you? But it's in the perpetual sense as well. It's in the present tense. Whosoever believeth on me hath. It's in the perpetual sense in that he said everlasting life. That means when he gives it to you, it's forever. You ask one of these children here this morning and you say, what does everlasting mean? Eternal. What's eternal mean? Forever. What's forever mean? Everlasting. How long is that? A long time. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You get it in the present tense and you have it forever. There's a lot of things in this life that we thought would last forever. Some of you sit here this morning and your dear mate that you were with for decades is now with the Lord. You knew it could happen. You prayed it wouldn't happen, but you didn't think in a way that it would be just like this, and now you are alone and your mate is in heaven. And you thought maybe in one way of speaking, you thought it would last forever, but they're in heaven. But this morning, understand that because there is a forever gospel and an eternal life, if they've trusted Christ as Savior, you are going to be with them forever a little bit later in heaven. You see, the truth of His provision is that He gives everlasting life in the present tense, in the perpetual sense, everlasting. It never, ever ends by His grace. But it's got to be by personal belief. Not only is it the present tense and perpetual sense tense, but it's also personal belief. Notice what it says. Did you know you could get so much out of one verse? Did you know that? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth. It's personal belief. He that believes. Not belief in a church, not belief in religion, not belief in your baptism, not belief in good works, not belief in good morals, but believing in the person, Jesus Christ. According to His Word, you're taking Him at His Word and you're believing Him and taking Him as Savior. It's personal. I've had folks say to me, when I've said, if you were to die right now, are you certain you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? They say, well, that's a personal question. You better believe it is. And there needs to be a personal affirmative answer that I'm going to take Jesus as Savior. Have you done that? I come from a long line of preachers. Now, my daddy wasn't a preacher. My dad didn't get saved until 2004. But my granddaddy, Delbert Moore, was a preacher. My great-grandfather, who died in 1932, that I'm named after. No, I wasn't born in 33, by the way. But my dad was. He was named after him. I was named after him. I named my son, who's with us here this morning, Joseph, after him. He was a great preacher. His daddy, that is Joseph Peter Moore, who I'm named after, who my son's named after, who my dad is named after. Are you with me? You okay? His daddy, they called him Old Man Billy Moore. He was a preacher. You say, preacher, does that make you a Christian because they were preachers? No, it doesn't. You see, now this morning, in the service this morning, I have a couple of my children. Joshua's in the back, and Joseph's sitting up front. I don't know if that has any significance or not, but these are my sons. This morning, I have two grandchildren here somewhere. But I want to tell you, I have something that God does not have nor will ever have. I have grandchildren. God only has children. Are you with me this morning? I'm not saved because my dad got saved or my grandfather or my great-grandfather or my great-great-grandfather were preachers. I'm saved because one day I heard the word. I came to grips with the person of Jesus Christ and the reality of my own sin. And I believed him. I put my personal faith and trust in Jesus and him alone. And he makes a difference in your life. He changes your life forever. That is the gospel truth. Let me tell you how he changes your life. We read this morning as our scripture reading, John 3:16. I heard a story once about giving Bibles out into prison. One of the things that the inmates wanted was that particular Bible that has that particular special paper and that Indian ink, because what they, are you with me? What they like to do with those Bibles, they like to roll them up and smoke them. And so they were giving out Bibles in the prison, and they said, now, they told the prisoner, he says, now listen, we'll give you this Bible, but you got to promise you won't smoke it. And the fellow says, no, I won't. I promise I won't smoke it. Guess what he did? He lied. The story is that he started smoking through Matthew, smoked through the book of Matthew. Kept on smoking. He rolled them up and smoked through the Gospel of Mark. Kept on smoking. He kept on smoking. He got over to the book of Luke and he rolled all those pages up and he smoked all of them. He got in the Gospel of John and he smoked through chapter 1 and chapter 2. And he got to John 3:16. And the story is said he hadn't smoked since. God can make a change in your life. God can make a difference when you take Him as your Savior and you're born again by the Spirit of God. Many are dressed in their church clothes. They're riding the bus of religion, but they're not on the bus of salvation that gives eternal life. Listen to me this morning, the bus of religion is out of control. And regardless of the best efforts that religious leaders can make to try to make adjustments for the out of control religion, it's going to crash into the wall and people are going to perish. They're going to perish without Christ. What folk need today, they don't need religion. They need salvation. They need Jesus. Do you know Him this morning? Are you on the right bus? Salvation bus is pulling up this morning one more time. And the driver of the bus, the Lord Jesus, looks out to you this morning. He says, will you take my word? Will you believe my person? Will you do it for yourself today? Our heads are bowed.